Please take your seat, everyone, and a very warm welcome from me to each one of you tonight, whether this is your first time at our Candlelight Carol service or whether you've been many times before. My name's David, and I'm going to just take a few moments to reflect on that verse that was read in all those different languages and on some of the carols that we've been singing tonight. So let me pray and ask that God would help us as we come and seek to know more of him tonight. Let's pray. Dear God, you want us to know you. That's why you came into our world. And so, Lord, I pray even tonight, help me and help us that we would understand more about who you are as we reflect on the Christmas story. And I ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I don't know what your expectations were as you came tonight. Maybe you've come just looking forward to singing some songs, a bit like some friends of mine when I was working as an engineer used to call it karaoke carols. A lot of fun. Maybe you're a child here and you've had your own nativity play, and this feels like a bit of a grown-up thing with all the candles to come and join in tonight, and it's so good that you could be here with us as well. But, you know, these evenings talk of a message that we've been singing about and that others around the world are even singing about in these days that can be life-changing. And one of the things I want to do just now is I'm going to come down and I'm going to introduce you to a friend of mine who's been quite inspiring for me as I've been preparing it, because he's been reminding me of something of his story. And his name is Alistair, and I wonder if you could just put your hands together for Alistair, who's going to share us something of his story. So Alistair, thanks so much for being willing to do this. And I would just wonder, how did you come to Holland Road in the first place, and how did you find it when you came?
Well, when I first came to Holland Road, I found the place so welcoming, and everyone had open arms. They just wanted to be here and just be here to praise the Lord. That's all they wanted to do, and sing and just be happy. And it didn't matter what creed or colour you were, they all come together and they just made you welcome. And it was pure happiness.
And it was a night a bit like tonight, wasn't it?
It was just like tonight, yes. I'd just been invited. I'd just come out of hospital and I was invited to come along to the candlelight thing. And I was a bit sceptical to begin with, because I've been a year and a half in hospital. I've become very angry, very upset with the world, and basically I thought it was me against the world. And I was fighting a continual battle. But when I came here, it helped me at ease, and during the carol service, I broke down in tears. And no matter what I did, I couldn't stop. And at the end, you come and saw me, and you said a prayer for me, because I was going back into hospital to have another operation, which I wasn't looking forward to. And it was going to be over Christmas. And I went into hospital, and the night before my operation, I cried out to the Lord. And he must have heard my prayers, because the next day, when the consultant came round, he told me I didn't need the operation. I could go home and spend Christmas at home. Fantastic. Then another thing, someone had the wisdom to give me a Bible for the first time. And instead of watching TV over Christmas, like most people do, I read the Bible. And I took it in, and I realised what people were trying to say to me. And the more I read it, the more I understood. And I started to come to church on and off regularly. But I realised I couldn't get the anger out of me before I could accept the Lord into my heart. And I kept on dithering or not. But in May that year, I was having my tea, and I thought, the Lord has given me food on the table, a roof over my head. What have I got to complain about? I can let the Lord into my heart, and I can come to church, and I can praise the Lord like everyone else. And I might be in a wheelchair now because of what happened, but I'm just another human being, and God has set me into his heart. And that's what I did.
Amen. Thank you so much, Alistair. Can we just give him a round of applause and say thank you for sharing with us? You know, it's been amazing to see that change. That someone whose maybe life was full of anger could find a life full of something else, full of Christ, full of joy, full of peace. And I don't know what you've come with full of today, but I know that when Jesus first came into the world, that there were a number of innkeepers whose lives were pretty full and whose homes were pretty full. And that verse that was read for us says in Luke 2, chapter 7, that Mary had to give birth to her firstborn and wrap him in cloths and place him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And we can imagine the kind of receptions we've got. And maybe you've seen a kid's nativity play this year. You know, sorry, no room, you know, and they move on and the door closed in their faces. And we do that, don't we? We do that with God sometimes, and we do that with others. We just say, sorry, life's too full. But you know, what I want to say this evening is really encapsulated very simply in something a friend of mine passed on to me. They didn't realize that I was thinking about sharing in this verse in Luke chapter 2 verse 7, but it was some weeks ago when we were walking along the seafront, and this friend, as we stopped for coffee, said, hey David, I saw something on a social media site the other day that I thought you might be interested in. And this is what they showed me just on their iPhone. They just reached across and said this here from Pinterest. Each of us is an innkeeper who decides if there's room for Jesus. Each of us is an innkeeper who decides if there's room for Jesus. And you know what blew me away when she showed me that was I thought, that was exactly what I was planning to share with all of you guys tonight. See, I didn't just think it up this morning. Actually something I've been thinking about for a while. And here's the thing. Why would any of us want Jesus to come into our lives? Why would we want to make room for Jesus? After all, like those first innkeepers, there's a lot of stuff going on in most of our lives. A lot of us could maybe legitimately say, well, my life's pretty full, thank you very much. And, you know, we fill it with the kind of things a bit like the innkeeper did. You know, business is going and there's people in the house and there's stuff to look afterwards. And, you know, really, I think those innkeepers, in many ways, you could say, well, fair dues on them. But looking back now, in fact, even those innkeepers, I imagine, would have thought, if we'd have known who this was, we would have somehow made space. And, you know, we fill our lives with all kinds of things. Some of them okay, but if they're so full that they push Jesus out, leave him on the street, then we're missing one of the best things that we could ever have in our lives, the best person we could ever welcome in. You know, Jesus said this in John chapter 10, verse 10. He said this, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Jesus has come so that we might have life and life to the full. And there's a difference between having a full life and having life to the full. And sometimes what happens in our lives is that it's not just that they're full of kind of busy other things, but actually they get full of some things that are slightly less good. Sometimes our lives can be full, like Alistair was saying, of anger, of resentment. Sometimes full of pride, or full of self. We know even that's not a good thing, don't we, when we talk of someone as they're so full of themselves. And yet, actually, that's a lot of what our lives. I know my life, when it's not going well, ends up becoming self-focused. And doesn't look great. What is your life full of? Because there is a God of love who wants to turn our lives around. And one of the things that I've been seeing as I've been walking around Brighton and Hove has really made me stop and think, because it showed me something that I think is there a lot in my life and other people's lives that keeps us from being those that welcome others in, whether that's Jesus or anyone else. I don't know if you've been walking past Brunswick Square and seen this chalk art on the pavement. It's a guy called Nick. I was just chatting to him the other day, and he gave me permission to use this. And he's got this kind of compass-like thing up here, where on the two ends of the compass, maybe instead of north and south, he's got good and evil. And then on the other side, on the other sort of parts of the compass, instead of kind of east and west, he's got love. And what do you think he's got on the other side of love? Maybe hate. That's what he said you'd kind of expect. But actually, here's a close-up, and you can see that's good and evil, and he's got love and, do you see the word? Fear. Fear. And he said, as I was speaking to him, he said, you know, fear is really the opposite of love. Fear is what keeps us from opening up our heart to others. And I thought, that's very perceptive. Fear of, well, what's going to happen if I let this other person into my life? You know, I can't deal with my own problems sometimes. What if I let this other person in? Will they ruin my life? Will I have space for them? You know, it made me think of a little Disney film I love. It's really quite a powerful film called Up. Anyone ever had a chance to see a great film? About the story of a man, and actually his life story kind of is in the first sort of 10 minutes or so, very moving, and actually goes through all the sort of seasons. He gets married, and then actually his wife unfortunately dies. And then we pick up the story kind of 10 minutes in here, and we're just going to show a little clip. And this is the old man, and he's now a bit of a grumpy old man, and there's a knock on the door. Here we go. See if you can pick it up here.
Order now. You get the camera, you get the printer, 4X optical zoom. Schneider lens, photo printer, SD card.
Good afternoon. My name is Russell, and I am a wilderness explorer in Tribe 54, Sweat Lodge 12. Are you in need of any assistance today, sir?
No.
I could help you cross the street.
No.
I could help you cross your yard.
No.
I could help you cross your porch.
No.
Well, I gotta help you cross something.
No, I'm doing fine.
Good afternoon. My name is Russell, and I am a wilderness explorer in Tribe 54.
Slow down.
Sweat Lodge 12.
Kid!
Are you in need of any
assistance? Thank you, but I don't need any help.
Thank you, but I don't need any help. And yet he did, you know. He didn't realize it. And I think sometimes, because maybe even we don't want to allow people to be too close into our lives, particularly God, when he comes and we hear the angel say, today a Savior has been born, we kind of go, thank you, I don't need any help. And you know, Jesus really is not at all like that little boy. He is so wise that his teaching has been talked about for 2,000 years and spread around the world. He is so compassionate that so many ministries and good things that are done in our country were started and founded by people who were inspired by Jesus Christ. His compassion meant that the lepers in his time, rather than him retreat from, he would move towards to touch and help. And he was so powerful that just with a word, those who were ill were restored. Those who were dead came back to life. And yes, if there was someone like that walking around, you can imagine what happened. Crowds started being drawn to him. People wanted to be close to Jesus. And that's one of the reasons why this news about Jesus has spread all over the world, because this man is like no other. And you know what? He's come to our lives, to our home, because he's come to help us overcome our fears. He's come in love like no other. This isn't just a love that, and I've been greatly inspired reflecting on the life of Nelson Mandela and the way he helped people overcome their fears to be reconciled with one another. But the thing that's amazing about Jesus is he calls us to not just be reconciled with one another, but to be reconciled with God. He comes in amazing love and doesn't just endure prison, he endures the cross. He dies in our place to show us that we're loved beyond imagining. That's what the Savior has done for us. But he didn't stay dead. I know it's Christmas, but that first Easter, he rose again, and so he's alive now, and he comes again to us, and as it were, knocking on the door and saying, can I help you? I want to come. I want to come into your life like he did for Alistair. And I want to start helping you overcome some of those fears, rearrange the things in life that maybe feels so full, so that you can order and prioritize it afresh. And I think sometimes, even as we begin to get a glimpse of Jesus being maybe a good thing, not a bad thing, maybe someone quite special, I think one of the things that kind of we wonder as we kind of peek around the door, we look inside our lives and we think this is pretty full, we think, well, maybe Jesus coming in would be a good thing, but how much room is Jesus going to take? You know, after all, my life's pretty full, remember? And I'm sure yours is the same. So Jesus, if I let you in, how much room are you going to take? Maybe I could just let him in and he could have a little, you know, a little place in the side of the of my life somewhere, and really nothing's going to change. Could it work like that? Well, it didn't work like that first Christmas. When Jesus came into that stable, everything changed in the stable. He became the focus. And when someone special comes into our home, they change everything. Everything kind of starts being different. You know, when you ask, there's been a lot of new babies in the family, in the church family recently. You ask any of those parents, has anything really changed now that the baby's been born? Oh, yes. When Jesus comes in, everything changes because he becomes the focus, rightly so. And like you heard in Alice, it's a good transformation. And actually, one of the things that Jesus does is he kind of turns our lives upside down. So that where we thought there wasn't room for much else, that actually we discover there's new capacity. It's like he, in being the focus, creates more space somehow wonderfully in our lives for others. Because he points to us and says, hey, you know what, when we're the focus, when it's about self, when fear is kind of there in our lives all over the place, fear of others and fear of, you know, of letting God in close, then actually life doesn't function as it should. But when we allow him in, then suddenly there seems to be capacity for others and a desire to have a freedom to reach out and love and show compassion to others like he did. So, how much room will Jesus take? Well, he becomes the focus. And it's a wonderful focus. And lastly, as we just end, how do we welcome Jesus into our lives? How do we make room for him? Well, the carols we've been singing point us to the answer to that. We've just been singing, O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. There's a wonderful verse in John chapter 1 verse 10, John chapter 1 verse 12, which we have up here on the screen. It says this, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That as we receive Christ, as we trust that he is good news for us, that in his love he's going to help us in our need and situations. He's not going to cause further pain through the sin of like that we've experienced sometimes with others. As we realize he's good news and trust him as we welcome him in, then things start to change in us. That's the first thing. It starts in our hearts, but then it shows in our lives. It shows in our lives because it shows in the way we welcome others. Jesus said, whoever welcomes a little child in my name welcomes me. He says of those who treat the strangers or the people who have come from other places or those who are poor or needy, he says, what you do to them, you do to me. You see, all of a sudden here, how we welcome Jesus is actually how we welcome one another. When we see people as if they were this special Christ, the one who's come from heaven to help us. And so it's actually not just a thing we do in our hearts, it's something we do with our lives as well. And so tonight, that process can begin. That process of saying, hey, Jesus, I want to invite you in my life. I'm an innkeeper. I want to make room for you, Jesus. Because each one of us decides if there's room for Jesus. And as I was praying for this time tonight and praying for each one of you, I was praying, Lord, please, may people decide even tonight that they want to make room for Jesus for their sakes. So that the busy lives that we lead can be reordered in a way which actually helps us live life to the full. So that we would realize that Jesus has come from heaven to earth, to our home, to our lives, so that we would know that he wants us to be with him forever in his home. That's how much he loves us. So here he is, he's coming, and he's knocking. He's saying, hey, will you make room for me in your lives? So I want to just pause by offering that chance for us to welcome him into each one of our lives this night. You know, when someone knocks on your door, you know, you usually start by just saying something. You say, welcome. In Kenya, where I grew up, we used to say, karibu, welcome. And it's the same with God. It's talking to him is what's called prayer. And maybe you've prayed lots before, maybe you've never prayed before. But one thing I would love is no one to leave here without knowing how to pray. And prayer is just simply talking to God like you talk to someone else. Keep it simple, keep it honest. And actually, I find sometimes find it even helpful to learn from the prayers of others. And that prayer in a little town of Bethlehem, the end of the verse, is simply a prayer. It just says this, O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin, our being full of ourselves, our fear, the things that keep us from loving God with all our heart and loving our neighbor as ourselves, and enter into us, be born in us today. And that's a prayer. If I was going to put that kind of in my own words, I'd maybe say something like this. I'd just say, Jesus Christ, sorry for where I've kept you and others out. I want to welcome you into my life. I don't want to live in fear and selfishness. I want you to come and be the focus of my life and help me welcome others. Amen. And that is a prayer that transforms lives. So I'm going to bow my head, and I've been praying this kind of thing a bit more recently, and it's done me a world of good. So if you want to join me as I just pray, then please do echo these words in your heart as well. Let's bow our heads, everyone, before we continue to sing together. Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for where I've kept you and others out. I want to welcome you into my life tonight. I don't want to live in fear and selfishness. I want you to come and be the focus of my life and help me welcome others. Amen.